Well, good morning. Really is good to see everybody. And we're thankful for the opportunity to be out. And I, as we're thinking this morning, if you'll be turning your Bibles to Psalm 96. I don't think I could have asked Rob to pick better songs to match what we're doing this morning. In some ways, I'm just wanting to treat this as a bit of a devotional style. To think about praising God, to think about declaring His glory. And I want to just read Psalm 96 to begin with. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For He is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. There are times when we just need to stop and praise God. That we don't need to get bogged down in the worldly thoughts and desires and other issues going on. We can back away for a while from the politics and from everything else happening in this world and just praise God. I need to do that. Now, while not identical, what's interesting to me is that the substance of this psalm is found in the background of David bringing the ark and the tabernacle to Jerusalem. I'm looking over in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 for just a moment. 1 Chronicles 16. So they bring the ark of God into Jerusalem and they place the ark inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And they offer burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And David blesses the people in the name of the Lord and distributes everyone to everyone a loaf of bread, portion of meat, and a raisin cake. And he appointed some of the Levites, verse 4 says, as ministers before the ark, even to celebrate and thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Names some of those. And I want you to notice then the psalm here in beginning in verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. And may I just stop right there for a moment. May the heart of those who seek the Lord Be glad. If you're here this morning seeking the Lord, be glad. Rejoice in that. Praise God for it. We drop down to verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Again, this is what Psalm 96 is talking about. And so as David brings the ark into Jerusalem, puts it in the tent that was made for it, they're praising God for this monumental day. Declare his glory. So coming back to Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. And I love that phrase because it's connected to songs of salvation. Connected to songs of praise in Scripture. And, you know, I was thinking about this because as we've been studying Revelation on Wednesday nights, we've come across this phrase a few times. Revelation 5 and verse 9, they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and break its seals, for you were slaughtered and you purchased people for God with your blood from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Worthy is the Lamb, right? That's the point. And so you're singing a new song, a song of devotion and praise and dedication to the one who's worthy to open the scroll, to unveil the plan of God and carry it out in its fullness. Revelation 15 and verse 3 says, they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. So it's interesting to me that these songs of praise in Revelation are then kind of connected back to the song of Moses. And in Exodus 15 and verse 1, we read that Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider, he's hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Then, turning back to the Psalms, in Psalm 40, Psalm 40 in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he reached down to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud. He set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. And in Psalm 98 and verse 1, Psalm 98 and verse 1, sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made his salvation known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his graciousness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Think about how blessed we are. Living on this side of the cross, to see the fullness of God's plan come to fruition in Jesus. To see it finally happen, to hear Jesus on the cross say, "It is finished," and to know that everything God has been working for and gearing for through Scripture is finding its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He is our song, and we sing a new song to the Lamb of praise for what He has done. And I'll just tell you, when I think about the salvation and the beauty of that, the glory of that, the wonder of that, everything else just kind of melts away. Nothing else on the peripherals really matter. The Lord deserves our praise. And he says to do this, sing to the Lord all the earth, which just tells us that this is all encompassing. All creation praises God. We're familiar, of course, with passages like Psalm 19, which tell us that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. That by looking at the creation of God, both the heavens and the earth, we see something marvelous. Not because we want to worship the earth, but because we want to worship the one who made it. And we are made to marvel even at how little we are. Think back to Psalm 8 and what the psalmist says here. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you've established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You ever look at creation and just wonder, who am I? I mean, I'm a speck on top of a speck on top of a speck. I mean, what am I? And yet to marvel at the fact that in spite of the vastness of God's universe that he has made, and it doesn't matter how far we travel in it, we're going to continue to be amazed. Yet he cares for you and me. He knows your name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. No comment. He knows what's inside of you. And he loves you. So sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. And let that phrase sink in. This is good news. And we're proclaiming the good news of his salvation. Proclaiming his name. Blessing his name. Thanking him. God's name stands for who he is. He is the great I am. He is the one who saves. He is the one who has made everything. And I'm actually going to spend more time on that this evening. We're going to spend more time talking about God, who he is. Proclaim the good news. Don't you get tired of the bad news? Don't you get tired of whatever you're looking at, social media, turn on the news on TV, whatever it may be, and it's just one hit after another. This world needs good news, and we have it. We have it in Jesus Christ, and that's what he says, proclaim that, tell people this. It's what they're looking for. It's what they need. And I need to be reminded of how great and magnificent that news is. Really is. And then he says, tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Now think about the fact that, you know, God made humanity, and his desire was for all people to come to him. Now, there reached a point in sin when God essentially disinherited the nations. That's what Genesis 1 through 11 really is telling us. And then chooses Abraham to be the one through whom he would then create this plan and carry out this plan, and by which he would then bless all nations. And so Israel became the nation through which he would bless the nations. They were to be, according to Isaiah 49 and verse 6, God's nation was to be a light to the nations. Isaiah 49, 6, he says, "Is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the protected ones of Israel? I will make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." So we're talking about God's salvation reaching to the ends of the earth, and his people were supposed to be a light to the peoples, and that's the point. We become a light to the people of the world by proclaiming and telling the glory of God among the people. Being a light means telling his glory. Israel failed at that. Jesus came along and he became the light to the world, of course. He came as a light shining in the darkness and teaches his disciples to be lights in the world. We've seen this pattern over and over again in Scripture. We are to be lights in the world, telling the glory of God, proclaiming, as 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, proclaiming the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's what God wants from us. And by that, then, people are drawn back to him. Now, Jesus said in John 12, 32, "If I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." But his intention is that that's the story we tell people, that that's what we're talking about. That's what we're pointing people to. As Peter recognized in Acts 10, 34 and 35, and this is in the context of his seeing the vision of the unclean animals that are let down in the sheet, and he's not sure what that meant, of course, and a voice that says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he says, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. This happened three times. Peter finally got that what God was doing was showing him a vision that was really meaning for him to understand that it was about people, about going to the Gentiles, about preaching to the nations. And so he could say, "I perceive God shows no partiality. In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted of him." And so this is the message then that goes out to all the world now. Everybody needs to hear about the glory of God and his wonderful deeds among the people. "For," he says, "great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, to be feared above all gods." All the gods of the peoples are idols. They're nothing. The Lord made the heavens. It's interesting to me to read the accounts of God being contrasted with idolatry in the Old Testament. And one of the most vivid places where that's done is there in Isaiah 44 and verse 9, when Isaiah says, "You know, those who fashion a graven image are all of them futile. Their precious things are of no profit. Even their own witnesses fail to see or know, so that they will be put to shame. Who has fashioned a god or cast an idol to no profit? Behold, all his companions will be put to shame, for the craftsmen themselves are mere men. Let them all assemble themselves. Let them stand up. Let them tremble. Let them together be put to shame. The man shapes iron into a cutting tool and does his work over the coals, fashioning it with hammers and working it with a strong arm. He gets hungry. His strength fails. He drinks no water, becomes weary. Another shapes wood, extends a measuring line, outlines it with red chalk, works it with planes, and outlines it with a compass, makes it like the form of a man, like the beauty of man, so it may sit in the house. What he's describing is this process. Man makes the tools, man cuts down a tree, man begins to shape the wood and the tree and puts all this great craftsmanship and care into it. Takes the other half of the wood that he cut and burns it in the fire. And the point that he's making is all of this is folly because they're trying to turn it into some kind of a god and say, you're the one who delivered us, when in reality that idol can do nothing for them. But God, the Lord, Yahweh, is to be praised and feared above all because he's the true and living God. And that's one of the reasons why he didn't want people trying to cast him into some kind of graven image. Because he cannot be contained by that. He made the heavens. Splendor and glory. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. What is it that underlies the salvation that God offers? Well, he says it's his power, it's his splendor, it's his majesty, it's his strength, and even his beauty. God's space is beautiful. And as I was thinking about this, you might be surprised that I'm connecting this to Revelation 21. Just thinking about the beautiful picture that we see of God's presence. When John says in Revelation 21 in verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, her brilliance like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. This great high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels. And description here is a description of beauty. In the presence of God is beauty. He makes all things beautiful. And if I may say it this way, I believe the concept of beauty is one of the things that leads us to God. That we can even perceive that something is beautiful is amazing. And so he says multiple times, ascribe to the Lord. Give the Lord the praise that is due his name. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courtyards. Worship the Lord in holy attire. God is for all nations, and his glory needs to be in our minds as we offer ourselves to him. I would challenge you then, whenever we come before God to worship him, stop and think for just a little bit about the glory and majesty and strength of God. Get your mind ready to worship God by thinking of his glory and power. As we just sang, I stand in awe of you. Worship the Lord. And I think it's interesting here that he says in this context to bring an offering and worship the Lord in holy attire. What is it that we offer God? I mean, there's a sense in which we would say, I've really got nothing to give him, right? He doesn't need anything that I can give him. So what am I doing here? Scripture does show that in the New Testament, the concept of the priesthood and the offerings is still there. In fact, God's people are made a holy and royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And we are to present offerings acceptable to Him, again in 1 Peter chapter 2. But it's not animal sacrifices we're giving. It's really ourselves that we're giving. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Him. He says in Romans chapter 12, that is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You are giving yourself over to God Himself. This is what you're offering Him. And it may not be much. I don't have much to give in that sense. But the Lord isn't asking us to give a part of ourselves. He's asking us to give ourselves. And He says, do it in holy attire. In the splendor of holiness. It's not really just talking about the clothes you're wearing right now, physically in that sense. I mean, yes, in Leviticus chapter 16, the priests did have holy garments that they put on. Leviticus 16 and verse 4 says about the priest, the high priest, he shall put on a holy linen tunic and the linen undergarments next to his body, and he'll be wrapped about the waist with linen sash and linen turban wound around his forehead. And he says, these are holy garments. But it was a reminder to him that it wasn't just about the clothes you wore. It was about a holy life. What God wanted from His people was holiness. You shall be holy, for I am holy. And really, it's the same for us. In fact, Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. To put on the new self. After you put off the old self, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Put on Christ, you see. Put on the holiness that He desires. Now, the Lord Himself is clothed in such. Psalm 93 and verse 1 says, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and encircled Himself with strength. God is clothed with splendor and majesty, according to Psalm 104 and verse 1. And tremble before Him. Tremble before Him. Isaiah 66 and verse 1 says, this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? Where's a place that I may rest? For my hand has made all these things. So all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But I will look to this one, the one who is humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. Sometimes we just need more trembling to fear God and to be able to say the Lord reigns, His rule, His authority. This is what lies behind our worship and our praise even today. Indeed, God judges fairly. God judges in equity. And I want us to again emphasize everything praises God. The heavens, the earth, the sea, the field, the trees of the forest, all these things sing for joy. These things praise God. And He looks to an end here to say that He's coming to judge the earth. He'll judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Now, you might recognize that phrase, judge the world in righteousness, as the very phrase Paul uses in Acts chapter 17. And I want to say more about that this evening. So as we think about our beautiful opportunity today, praise God for His salvation. Teach the rule and salvation of God to to the world. Put on a life of holiness by which we praise God and seek God's glory in all we do. That's at least part of what this psalm teaches us. Give God praise. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. We've been saying here this morning that we need to praise God for His salvation. God's salvation is offered to everybody. His grace is offered to everybody. What you do with that is up to you. But if we're going to praise God for His salvation, then we need to know that we have come to Him for that salvation. Maybe you find yourself in a position this morning where that's what you need to do. Maybe you need to repent of your sins and be buried with Christ in baptism to have your sins wiped away. We want to help you do that. We want to praise the Lord for salvation generally, for my salvation and for yours. And if we can help you, come as we stand and sing.